can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. But sometimes I wonder what he can do through me. No great success to show, no glory on my own. Yet in my weakness he is there to let me know. His strength is perfect when our strength is gone. He'll carry us when we can't carry on. Raised in his power, the weak become strong. His strength is perfect. His strength is perfect. We can only know the power that he holds when we truly see how deep our weakness goes. His strength in us begins when ours comes to an end. He hears our humble cry and proves again. His strength is perfect when our strength is gone. He'll carry us when we can't carry on. Raised in his power, the weak become strong. His strength is perfect. His strength is perfect.
Philippians chapter 2 this morning. Turn there if you would, please. Philippians chapter 2. We're going to read verses 9 through 11 this morning. I'll read aloud as you read along silently. That's Philippians chapter 2, verses 9 through 11 this morning. As you're finding your place, or if you've already found it, would you stand to your feet if you're able, as we honor the Word of God, as we read the Word of God together this morning. Philippians chapter 2, beginning at verse 9. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, and things in earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for the Word of God. Thank you for this wonderful passage in your Word. God, use it to help us today. We need to hear from heaven. There's needs in this room that cannot be met but divinely. So Lord, please do a work. Use our pastor. I pray you'd fill him with thy Holy Spirit power. Because, Father, we need to hear from heaven today. And, Father, if there's somebody listening on the internet or in this room this morning that does not know Jesus Christ as their Savior, I pray they would trust him today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated.
As you're being seated again, we remind you to turn your cell phone off, please. If you use it for your Bible, you will need your Bible this morning. You'll need it in that Philippians 2 passage. But we'll ask otherwise that you just listen very carefully this morning. I not really going to preach you a sermon today. I'm going to bring you a declaration. And the declaration is, his name is Jesus. What's in a name? It's identity. Tells us who that person is. What's in a name? It's a heritage. It tells us who and where that person came from. What's in a name? It helps us to understand something about that person. His name, Jesus, means salvation. And in Philippians chapter 2, God here is just declaring something to us about the name of Jesus. Look at me. That is a name of respect. It is a name to be used in reverence. It is not to be bandied about. It is not to be used as a couched kind of profanity. It is a name of great and deep respect and admiration. And it means something to some of us here this morning, because he is our salvation. And that name this morning, we get right into the thought I want to give you today, and I just want us to leave today and consider the name of Jesus. And it says in Philippians chapter 2, as you look in your Bibles this morning, wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Verse number 9 this morning, notice this declaration about Jesus' name. It's an exalted name. Who exalts this name? God does. Now we understand Jesus is God the Son. We understand God as Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Three persons, one God. You say, well, that doesn't make sense to me, Pastor Johnson. Good. You just figured out he's bigger than your little peanut finite mind. That's good. It's okay. You don't have to grasp the Trinity. You can't comprehend it. How that could be three persons in the Trinity, yet one God. Say, well, then how do you explain that? You don't. You just embrace it. You accept it, that God is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. They're equal, yet separate. See, that doesn't make any sense either. Good. You're getting the picture here. God's bigger than your mind. There's some things about God, ladies and gentlemen, we just don't get. There's some things about God, I could hope to explain it to you, but you would still leave saying, yeah, but I don't get that. But that's okay, because you don't have to get God. You don't have to understand God. You just have to acknowledge him. And the truth is, the Bible says God has highly exalted the name of Jesus. Now, you realize in the Bible, there's only two things God ever exalted above himself. One, in Psalm 138, verse 2, says God is magnified, that's exalted, lifted up. God has magnified his word above his name. And number two is God has exalted Jesus, the name of Jesus, above him. Can you think about that for a moment? Do you understand what it means to be exalted? It means to be lifted up. It means to be set apart. It means to be held in a special place of respect. Why is the name of Jesus exalted by God? Because of Jesus is God. He is God in human flesh. That sets him apart from all of the men. See, that's why the Bible says there in Philippians chapter 2, please, if you look at it with me carefully, wherefore God hath also highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. There's no name greater than the name of Jesus. That means God has set it apart and said, when he gave him that name, he said, I want his name and who he is to be set apart and set above any and all others. That's the wonder and glory of the name of Jesus, ladies and gentlemen. That's why you want to use it correctly. That's why you want to use it properly. That's why you want to use it with respect. And that's why you want to use it with honor. That's why it's a name that's a special name. Because of who Jesus is, he is God. Because of what Jesus did. Look in your Bibles in Philippians 2. Go back up to verse number 5. See, the precursor to verse 9 is verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. That's why God has exalted his name, because of what Jesus did. He left heaven, ladies and gentlemen, fled to the crimson womb of Mary, took upon himself human flesh, was born into this life, walked this earth sinless, pure, perfect, accused of everything you could imagine, but never found guilty of any wrong in his life. The only wrong they ever found Jesus guilty of was he said he was the Son of God. Guilty, Son of God. But not wrong, because that was right. And then he was willing, ladies and gentlemen, the creator of everything. John chapter 1, the Bible said, by him were all things made. Without him was not anything made that was made. And the creator of this universe was willing to give himself over to an angry mob and beaten like an animal and nailed to a cross and give his life and dip his soul into death. And then 3 days later, do what no man has ever done before, raised himself from the dead. And that name, ladies, God gave him that name. He exalted that name because of what Jesus would do. Nobody ever gave themselves to people like Jesus did. Nobody ever gave himself to someone for someone. No one ever did what Jesus did. Nobody. And God has exalted his name because of what Jesus is doing now. The Bible said he ever liveth to make intercession for us. When he left this earth and went back to heaven, he went back to heaven in a scarred body. Nail prints in his hands and feet, thorn scars on his brow, spear thrust into his side. He went back to heaven. He could have set aside all that again. He could have gone back to his, what we theologically call the pre-incarnate Christ. He said it all. He could have just said, that's it, I'm done with this humanity issue and I'm finished. I've given myself for them. I paid their sin debt. I'm just going to go back to heaven. No, the Bible said he ascended back to heaven. He sits at the right hand of the Father, and he ever liveth to make intercession for us. He's our intercessor. He's our go-between, God the Father and us on this earth. When you call on prayer and you say, and in Jesus' name, God hears that name and hears your prayer because of what Jesus is. He's an intercessor now. He's still caring and watching over you. You still matter to Jesus. Did you know that? So you see why God has exalted his name. It's an exalted name. Look at verse number 10 this morning, please. Now notice this, it says, and that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of things in heaven and things under the earth. That is a name that's an elevated name. What does that mean? It means having, verse 10 represents the proper attitude we should be given to the name of Jesus. Because he is our salvation. Now my friend, look at me. If you understand eternal life, forgiveness, and a standing with God, and it has anything to do with other than you trusting Christ as your Savior, you need to repent this morning and trust Christ and get saved. For neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. In a few moments, that screen will come down and a couple folks are going to go in the back and we're going to baptize them. Baptism is not salvation. That's water. Blood washes away sin, not water. Baptism is a picture of the death and the burial and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It pictures what Jesus did to save us, but it doesn't save us. Jesus didn't die on the cross so we could go to a tank of water or a river or a stream or a sprinkling or a pouring or anything else to get our sins washed away. If that was the case, he went to the cross for nothing and he paid no debt because he himself could not save us. But his name means salvation because salvation's in Jesus Christ. So now, look at me now. Look at me this morning. So my dear friend, I can tell you today with absolute confidence, when we invite you to come today and receive Christ as your Savior, we're inviting you to come to Jesus, not to church, not to religion, not to Christians. You're going to come to Christ because his name, ladies and gentlemen, is elevated above all other names. There is no other religion that can save you. There is no other works. There's nothing inside Christianity. There's nothing outside of Christianity. There's nothing in churchianity. There's nothing in religiosity. There's nothing in salvation in any of those things, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And true biblical Christianity, true biblical salvation always points you to Christ. Now wait a minute. But before you leave this room, you need to make certain that that person is your hope to be saved. So you see, God, look here, God has elevated him. That name, he's elevated above all of the names. I don't disparage other religions. I believe they're false if they don't exalt Christ and lift him up. But I'll tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. It's high time we got off this pluralistic thinking nowadays that's gotten into our churches where we think, well, everybody's religion is to be respected. And it is. But it's not right if it's not pointing you to Christ. And now look at me. See, well, Pastor Johnson, that's exclusive. No, it isn't. Look at me. No, you exclude yourself. If you won't come to Christ and trust him for your salvation, you're excluding yourself. He's not excluding you. You're excluding you. That's right. That name is salvation. And it's an elevated name. It's above every name. There isn't anybody else that can give you that salvation. Oh, wait a minute. That name's elevated because also it is our security. Do you know why once you get saved, you're always saved? It says in Hebrews chapter 7, it says he is able to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing, listen, he ever liveth to make intercession for us. Your uttermost salvation. The uttermost. Like last time I checked it, when a person gets saved, God doesn't give them temporary life. He gives them eternal life. When a person gets saved, God doesn't give them forgiveness of what they've done. He gives them salvation from the penalty of the sin they have committed, will commit, etc. It's done. It's all done. Uttermost salvation. From the top of your head, the bottom of your feet. My friend, when you get saved, God saves you. And in that salvation is that security. And the reason God lets you stay saved after you don't deserve it. And let me tell you something, friend. Everybody in this room, every cotton-picking, breathing, living soul in this room doesn't deserve to have salvation that's permanent. None of us do. But the reason you do is because he ever lives. Oh, yeah. Remember that Old Testament picture when the children of Israel were going into the promised land? God told them to set aside cities of refuge. So if a person was in a field working with somebody and the person they were working with was killed, they could flee to the city of refuge and be safe. And the terms of his safety in that city of refuge was until the death of the high priest. Jesus is our high priest. And since he ever liveth, you have security in the salvation of the refuge of God's salvation. Hey, that's an elevated name. So I'm saved today and I know it. I was talking with a man one day and he said, I asked him, do you know you're saved? He goes, no, and you don't either. I said, well, yes, sir, I do. And he goes, that's arrogant. I said, no, sir, it's not arrogant. I said, I don't deserve it. Oh, most definitely, I'm not bragging unless I can brag on Jesus. But I'm saved because he told me in his word, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's an elevated name because he is our salvation. He's our security. He's our supplicator. You talk to God today, he heard you because of Jesus. He's our safety, ladies and gentlemen. He's the one. Come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden, I'll give you rest. You shall find rest unto my souls. Haven't we figured out by now you can't look at the government, ladies and gentlemen, without getting totally aggravated? You can't look at the government. You can't look at the White House, the governor mansion. You can't look at the Board of Supervisors. You can't look at this. You can't look at man's authority. Therein is not our safety. No, we're safe because he that never slumbers or sleeps stands awake day and night, 24/7, watches over us. He is our safety. He's our sustenance. He's the bread of life. Jesus' name is the name by which one day every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Watch me now. Hey, look at me. These little punks. I said punks. Little theological critics who sit back and criticize Jesus. These little atheists and their little finite peanut mind who say, well, I don't happen to believe in God. Guess what? He ain't going away. Just because you don't believe in him is not going to make him disappear. You got that? Agnostics, you say, well, there's something there, but you can't know him. Oh, yes, you can. And he proved it by the cross and sent his son, Jesus. God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Yeah, all these people who are always there, they're skeptics and critics and the people who are always saying something about Jesus and denigrating him. One day, one day, every knee will bow. Every day. One day, every day, every knee will bow. Satan and his minions are going to bow before that name of Jesus and that person of Jesus Christ. Oh, yes. That's an elevated name. Oh, it's amazing when you stop to think about his name. In Genesis, he's our creator. In Exodus, he's the Passover lamb. In Leviticus, he's the high priest. In Numbers, he's the water in the desert. In Deuteronomy, he's our eagle's wings of deliverance. In Joshua, he's the commander of the army of the Lord. In Judges, he's the Lord of princes. In Ruth, he's our redeemer. In Samuel, he's the prophet, priest, and king. In 2 Samuel, the rock of salvation. In 1 Kings, the builder of a temple that will never fail. 2 Kings, he's the reigning king. 1 Chronicles, son of David, that has come to rule. 2 Chronicles, he's the king who reigns eternally. Ezra, the priest proclaiming freedom. Nehemiah, the one who restores what is broken. Esther, the protector of his people. Job, he's the mediator between God and men. You're going to read every book? Uh-huh. Now, Psalms, he's our song in morning and the night. Proverbs, our wisdom and strong tower. Ecclesiastes, our meaning for light. Song of Solomon, the author and faithful lover. And Isaiah, he's wonderful, counselor, mighty God, everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And Jeremiah is the weeping Messiah. In Lamentations, he assumes God's wrath for us. In Ezekiel, he's the Son of Man. In Daniel, he's the Son of God with us in the fiery furnace. And Hosea is a faithful husband, even when we run away. Joel is the baptizer of the Holy Spirit. Amos, the deliverer of justice to the oppressed. Obadiah, he's the mighty to save. Jonah, he's the great missionary. Micah, he casts out our sin in the sea of forgetfulness. Nahum, he proclaims future world peace. Habakkuk, he crushes injustice. Zephaniah is the warrior who saves. Haggai is the restorer of our worship. Zechariah is the Lord over and King of kings and Lord of lords. Malachi, Son of Righteousness, who brings healing. Messiah, he's the king. In Mark and Matthew, he's the king. In Mark, he's the Messiah as a servant. Luke, he's the Messiah as a deliverer. And John is the Messiah who is God in the flesh. In Acts, he's the Spirit who dwells in his people. In Romans, he's the power of God and the salvation. In Corinthians, he's the conqueror over death, our resurrection. In 2 Corinthians, he's the down payment to what's to come. In Galatians, he's our inheritance. In Ephesians, he's our peace at the right hand of the Father. Philippians, he's the God that supplies all our needs. In Colossians, he holds the supreme position. In all things, in Thessalonians, he's our comfort in these last days. In 2 Thessalonians, he's our returning king. In Timothy, he's our crown of righteousness. In 2 Timothy, Christ our helper. Titus, he's our hope. Philemon, he's a friend that sticks closer than a brother. Hebrews, he's our high priest. James, he's the great physician. Peter, he's our hope in times of suffering. 2 Peter, restorer of all things. 1 John, our love and our light. 2 John, he's Christ that's come in the flesh. 3 John, he's our prosperity, health, and peace. Jude, he's Jesus, Lord, coming with 10,000 of his saints. Revelation, he's Jesus, King of kings, Lord of lords. He's Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. And he's coming one day to make everything right, ladies and gentlemen. You know what? His more pens have penned words about him. More sculptors have sculpted him. More artists have painted him. More orators have spoken of him. His name is elevated above all names, the name of Jesus. And in verse number 11, please, I got to stop because you're getting too worked up. You know how hard it is to preach a bunch of white Baptists. Do you know that? Seriously. Where I come from, somebody would have been running the house throwing their shoes up in the air. Never mind. All right, verse 11. And don't do that because your feet probably stink. All right, so let's just keep it calm. Look at verse 11. And that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Jesus' name is an earned name. You know what confess in the Bible means? Hey, you know what confess in the Bible means? It means to agree with. It means to agree. Hey, Sally, sit and behave yourself. You're in church. It means to agree with. Are you hearing me? We're going to confess that Jesus Christ He is Lord to the glory of God the Father. You know why he's earned that right? See, folks, look at me. We have problems with religion. We have problems with people in religion. We have problems with all that kind of junk. Can I tell you something? You're a little shallow in your looking and your thinking. Because, see, if we do this right, we get saved because we trust Jesus as our Savior. Is that right, church? Is that right? We do. We get saved because we trust Christ as our Savior. We stay saved because Jesus ever lives, right? He's everything to us. He's our example. Life for him, like Peter in the storm, and we start looking at people and things, and we start getting distracted by that, when what we really need to do is get back to the fact that Jesus has earned the right. That'll fix all that whining and complaining about, well, so-and-so did this and so did that. I'm always amazed at people who do that. I'm always amazed at people who've gotten so caught up in what someone is or isn't that they failed to realize Jesus is, and he always will be, and he has always been, and he is faithful, and he is Lord. I heard people say, well, you need to make Jesus Lord of your life. No, you don't. He's already Lord. You need to yield to the Lordship of Christ. You acknowledge the fact that he is everything. He's all that we need. He's our sustainer. He's our helper. He's our encourager. He's the one who walks along beside us. Yeah, he's the one who guides us and directs us. And when he went back to heaven, he dispensed the Spirit of God to come, to walk along and comfort us and correct us, encourage us, convict us, and guide us and direct us into all truth. Always loved you. No one ever cared for you like Jesus cares for you. Hasn't Jesus earned your love? Hasn't he earned your respect? Hasn't he earned your honor, your praise? Hasn't Jesus earned the right for you and I to tell others about him? Fascinating. Someone goes on a diet, loses 25 pounds, 30 pounds. Everybody wants to know the source. All diets work, by the way. They all do. You can sniff Drano and lose weight. Well, you'd be dead, but it's amazing to me how when somebody says, oh, I found this on the internet, you should look this up. Everybody wants to go find out what that is. It's fascinating to me how people get fascinated with the stuff of mankind that doesn't matter. And here we have that person whose name is above every name and has meant so much to us. And we never tell anybody. It's an illustration I've used many times, and I ask your forgiveness if I tell it to you again. I was making a visit in the hospital. I stopped in the restroom to wash my hands. As I was washing my hands, the gentleman in the sink standing next to me, an older black gentleman, looked up in the mirror at me and he said, you look like somebody. I said, well, no, sir. I said, nope. I said, I am a pastor. And he goes, ah, you work for somebody. That was 25 years ago. Every now and then I remind myself, I work for somebody. I work for somebody who took a kid out of a drunkard's home and saved his soul and gave him a life. And you think, ladies and gentlemen, for 5 seconds, that that's something we're supposed to just keep to ourselves? Well, I don't believe in pushing my religion on people. Don't. Don't. But tell them about Jesus. Oh, yeah, that's a name that has earned the respect, has earned the right of a child of God to tell others, but his name is Jesus. And he saved my soul, and he'll save yours too if you're willing to listen. Well, God has exalted him and given him a name that is above every name. And yes, one day every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. You're going to be in that crowd, my friend. Now, will you bow your knee out of honor and respect, or will you bow your knee because you've been conquered by the fact that he is the Son of God and you missed the whole thing? Let's stand our feet, please, this morning. His name is Jesus. A missionary many years ago was on a South Sea island. He labored for years, never saw one soul come to Christ, and after some years, he saw one man get saved. And he labored several more years, and finally in discouragement after almost decades on this island, he decided he was going to leave. He thought, I'm just not being used. I've led one person to Christ in all this time. He went down to the docks and he went to get on a ship to sail away. And a man came, the man he had led to Christ that was with him all those years. And he said, sir, one more time, tell me his name. The missionary said, well, his name is Jesus, and he saved your soul. He gets on the ship and the man says from the dock, sir, one more time, please. One more time. His name is, and the missionary said, his name is Jesus, and he saved your soul and mine. Ship sailed from the dock and began to sail off toward the sunset. He heard the man on the dock saying, sir, one more time. What is his name? And the missionary realized if it's just one soul who came to know that name for his salvation, he had no reason to complain about anything. Caught the next ship back to that island, spent the rest of his life there preaching the name of Jesus for salvation. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed.